Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. How are you this Saturday? Hope you're having a great day. Saturday, August 27th, 2005. I'm Tom Meglia, financial planner, financial coach, and financial counselor. Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. That's the title and the subject matter of our program every Saturday, 2 o'clock, 2 to 2:30 on KKLA 99.5 FM. And I'd like to just take a little bit of time to reintroduce just what this program is about. You know, we've been on for 3 weeks now, and you can also get to the shows. If you've missed the prior programs, go to the website and you can listen to them if you have computer access or capability. The website for myself, financial planner Tom Meglia, is theeconomyofgod.com, www.theeconomyofgod.com. It's kind of all one word or all one line. There's no gaps or breaks in there. www.theeconomyofgod.com. Now, if you're like me, you'll blow up the computer. I'm not good at it, but my wife, Julie, teaches me how to use the computer. So we've got our website up and running. And if you miss a program, you can go on the website and listen to a prior program that we've done on Saturdays. And MP3 on the internet. So that's the website, theeconomyofgod.com. And again, the program is titled Knowing the Economy of God. It's based on my upcoming book that'll be out in a couple of months, entitled Knowing the Economy of God. And I'm really excited about getting that book out and teaching and educating people on just what God's economy is and how it works. And let me reintroduce just what the program covers. The program covers the Bible. Basically, it's about the Bible and the author, Almighty God. That's what the program is about. And we cover in the book just what the Bible says from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelations, all 66 books about God's economic principles that make up his economy. I call it God's economy or the economy of God. And what that basically means is God says, here's what my economy is, here's what you need to do, here's why, and here's how to apply it to your normal life, your average everyday life. Nothing earthquake-ish, just today's day, you know, here's how we apply God's economy. But to do that, we need to know what it is. And so that's what the program, my life, my career, my advice, my counseling is all about. I've been doing this for 27 years, teaching and educating people. Here's how you make a financial plan. Here's how you apply God's principles. Here's what you do in your normal everyday life to make it happen and to honor God and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is Lord of our life, he's our savior of our life, we're going to want to do what the Lord says to do with the financial and stewardship areas of our living, of our daily living. So let me cover with you a couple of things I've talked about before. And first of all, you need to know, I need to know, we all need to know, in God's economy, what are the anchors? And I call them the four anchors of God's economy. So let me just touch on what those four anchors are. The four anchors of God's economy are, number one, God is the one and true owner. God is the only owner of everything we have, including ourselves, our finances, our jobs, our assets, our relationships, our time, our talents and gifts, abilities, our bodies. God is the owner, the one and true owner of everything we are and everything we have. That's the first of the four major anchors. The second anchor of learning what God's economy is, and we'll cover these as we go throughout the years and months and years, I should say, of the programs, is that we are in the role of a servant or steward. Since we're not the owner, that makes us the servant, the humble servant, the steward of what does not belong to us, but belongs to God. And throughout the programs, as I mentioned, the months and years to come, we'll be talking about just what does that look like? What is it? What does it look like? What does that mean? How do we define it? That kind of thing. We try to break all this down and to really get into it scripturally and in application. And then third, the first order of being a good steward is to be a giver. We cannot be a good steward for God and show him as the one and true owner by hoarding, controlling, holding on to things. We must be givers. That is what the Christian is. She's a walking giver unit. You know, I call myself the garden hose. Okay. I like to spray my son and daughter with the garden hose at the pool, and we have fun in the backyard where we live. But, you know, in giving, we are garden hoses. We're to spread it out with a cheerful heart and to love people towards the Lord. And we're garden hoses. We put on that nozzle where you spray the garden or spray the roses, not just one direction, but lots of different places we spread the giving. And then in the fourth part of being an understanding what God's economy is, and the fourth anchor is to be content. We cannot be good Christian servants for the Lord if we're not content. So the four anchors that we teach, that I teach, that I write about in the book coming out, in about 2 months, I'm almost completely finished with it. So pray for me as I finish writing the book, Knowing the Economy of God. The four anchors that everything is built around in the Bible: God is owner, we are servants or stewards. Number three, first order of stewardship is to be a loving, cheerful giver, the garden hose. And number four, we're to be content. We need to learn to be content with our situation and our resources, because our happiness, our contentment comes in Jesus Christ, in knowing Him and Him alone as our Savior and our Lord. And since we want the Lord to be Lord of our finances in all areas of our life, we need to know the scriptures. We need to follow them. So some of the scriptures I think are just super exciting are the following. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, for He founded it upon the oceans and established His kingdom upon the waters. Okay. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heaven and earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. These are some powerful scriptures that God is the true owner. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Deuteronomy 8:18, this is one of my favorite verses about God being the owner and the giver. I say this to any successful person out there, including, anyone. All of us, sometimes me, sometimes not, but all of us. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It all keeps coming back to God, doesn't it? And, you know, that's where we get the scriptures from, to know that God is the one true owner, not God and me, just God alone. As a financial counselor for Crown Ministries, a financial and budget coach for Crown Ministries, Financial Ministries, and formerly Larry Burkett of CFC, Christian Financial Concepts, we teach people this, that God is the real and one and true owner, not us, just Him. And these are the scriptures that say so. And what's great about 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible's the inspired word of God, it says. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's what we're trying to do. And the economic principles that flow from these scriptures, the anchor that God is the one and true owner, are the following. Think about this. God's ownership of all things gives Him the right to demand accountability from us. That's an economic principle. He can demand accountability, and He does. When we get to the stewardship section, you'll learn about scriptures that tell us that we are accountable, and there will be an accounting and a judgment for what we do or do not do. So that's one principle. Another is we need to give control and ownership, surrendering control to God. Okay? We are not in control as much as we want to or would like to. So we need to surrender and give up control to the one who does have control, and that's Almighty God. But you can't do that if you grab onto it and squeeze it tight and won't give it up. That's very important to do. And I do believe we commit sins if we do not give up ownership, or if we think that we are the owner. Those are sins. We are not the owner. And we need to have our life demonstrate just what that looks like, to give up ownership to God and have Him through Jesus to be Lord of our financial areas. Another principle economically from the Bible on this anchor subject of God being the owner is that you can't have one right or correct without the other three. You can't say, okay, God, you'll be the owner, but I'll mess up stewardship, contentment, giving, or I'll be a good giver, but I'll be a lousy steward, terrible person in the area of contentment, and I'll be half owner. You have to have all four in the proper order and live all four, or it doesn't work. We're not living the right type of Christian life for God. Okay, so you can't have one right without the other three. Ownership, stewardship, giving, and contentment. You can't have two right without all four and get it all correct in God's eyes. So we need to do what he says for us to do. And that's how God's economy works. We need to be in through grace, by his love and grace and forgiveness and the leading of the Spirit, to do all four properly. And after the break, we'll talk more about just what does that look like, how do you apply it, and an actual case example of someone I've been working with and helping to find some freedom in this area. But before we close and go to the break, Jesus is Lord of the financial area of our life as in other areas. So I'll catch up with you right after the break.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Tom Meglia, financial advisor and financial planner. Hope you're having a great day. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed solid, Bible-based financial advice and didn't know where to turn, or perhaps are now in a situation where you need a financial coach to create and achieve a financial game plan? You know, most people don't reach financial goals because they don't have financial goals. They've never set financial goals. They don't really know how to. They have no formal plan to reach any financial goals. There usually is no coach to advise because most Christians don't know where to find a qualified Christian financial advisor, one who respects the Bible and takes financial advice and counsel directly from the Scriptures and applies it to your personal financial situation to honor God and be a good steward and to reach a financial goal. For 26 years, I've been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans and work towards achieving their financial goals. Also, for finding a speaker or lecturer on knowing and applying the economy of God and learning just what God's economy is, give me a call, 818-681-8600 or 800-386-3700 to talk to me, Tom Meglia, financial planner. Or visit our website at www.theeconomyofgod.com. Some of the programs I present at churches are Sunday school classes, workshops, lectures, topical sermons, all on God's economy. Thank you. Have a great day. And again, give me a call, 800-386-3700 or 818-681-8600.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
As we begin after the break and talk about application, what does it look like for God to be owner? Isn't that music that we're listening to great? I want to give credit to Bonnie Moore of Monrovia, California. She is someone I've been working with and helping, and she's a great harpist. If you like her music, go to her website, BonnieHarpsong.com, BonnieHarpsong.com. So thank you, Bonnie, for the music, the harp, the praise music. It's just great. I love it. Anyway, so as we talk about application, we need to remember that what we do with our finances says what we really believe about who is the owner or the boss, me or the Lord. Would you agree with that? What we do says what we believe. The encouragement is grace, that there's always a second chance and 72nd chance to make wise changes towards trusting God and obeying. But it's important that we agree together, you and I, listener and financial coach, that what we do with our finances says what we really believe. Because what we do says what we think and what we believe about God's word. And blessings will follow, although they could be intangible. They might be intangible. They'll affirm that what we're doing is truly following his will with the resources he's trusted to us. So blessings are going to happen. But they may not be financial. They may not be tangible or concrete. In fact, that's probably what we need most, isn't it? Something in the area of non-tangible, non-financial, drawing closer to God in peace and trusting Him and our faith. So just remember, blessings that follow obedience, but they may not be tangible in God's economy. Okay, so let's talk further about some things in the area of application. You know, I've been working with a lady for a long time, a lady who now is 57 years old. I'll call her Dolores for purposes of privacy, but, you know, she really went through a lot. She was married for about, 16 years. Her ex-husband, she's divorced, her ex-husband went through some crazy things, midlife crisis, left her for something better, and put her in some financial straits, some financial trouble. Talk about a mess, debt, budgeting issues, not to mention the fact that she thought, you know, here was my Christian dreamboat, my Christian white knight. She met him in college, and she never thought they'd get divorced, but they did. And it's sad. They have two kids. They're now 19 and 24. And Dolores says to me sometimes that we still work together on her budget and getting out of debt and planning for her future, trying to take what the Bible says and to live it right and to do things properly. She wants to follow God. It is stressful, though. Here she is, a mother of two kids. One's 24, as I mentioned. One's 19. And they're off and on in college and part-time work and this kind of thing. But it's hard. They live with her. You know, child support stopped 1 year ago for one child and about 6 years ago for the other. So things have been hard on her, and she hasn't heard from her husband in a long time. He's gone. And you're probably thinking, well, is she Christian? Yep. Was the husband Christian? Yep. Are the daughters Christian? Yes. Well, what happened? Well, things happen. This is life. People go through rough stuff. And she's trying to put her financial house in order, and I'm trying to give her advice, but I want her to do it properly. So we've been working on her spending, her budgeting, things that she thinks make her feel better. You know, when she buys things and she gets a temporary high or kind of like a medication, an aspirin from buying things. It medicates her for the moment, makes her feel better. Oh, I look great in this, whatever. You know, there's a lot of stuff she's been working through. I know because I see people all the time that go through things like this. How about yourself? Why do you buy what you buy? Why do you spend where you spend? Not just what do you spend money on? Pets, clothing, car repair, jewelry, snow skis, river rafting trips, Hawaii vacations, whatever. It's not just the what, but why. You need to examine why you spend where you spend. And if that's in agreement with God's will and in His financial systems, His economy, or if it's not. And the key is to know in this anchor that if I do whatever I do with the finances under my control and time and talents and abilities as well, is that what honors God? Is that demonstrating God as my owner? And if it does, that's good. If it doesn't, we need to red flag the category, find out what we're doing and why, and make some repairs. We need to understand, very importantly, our financial decision-making, if it aligns with what God would view as Him being the owner and us being the manager or the steward, the servant steward. It's very important. So I think one thing that Dolores went through is just going through all of these issues, trying to figure out, okay, why did the husband leave her? Where does it leave her financially? She has to take a grasp on the finances, whether she wanted to or not. He kind of managed them all, worked them all. She really didn't have much to do with the finances. So when I met her, one thing we did back in 87, we've been working together for about 17 or 18 years, she realized she needed to identify where she stood. What situation was she in? They had debt. He walked away. What does she do with the debt? Her credit rating? How does she fix it? Get a handle on things? And all the time of loving her daughters, raising them by herself, figuring out, okay, how do I do this now as a single parent? I've never, ever wanted to be a single parent, she thought, and rightfully so. She didn't want the breakup or divorce of their marriage, but this is what was given and handed to her. Her ex took off, and there's no way to stop him from doing that. However, we have created a financial plan. which I think is good. We've shored up some foundational issues. We've talked about giving, you know, becoming a giver for the Lord, not just of money, but talents and time, learning to be content, and flowing all of this around the fact that God is her provider. Not Tom Meglia, financial coach. It's not about me. No, it's about her and God and her desire to do what God says. So when she read these verses about God being the owner, she was like, wow, how do I make this apply to my normal life? I mean, it sounds so great in the book, the Bible. I believe it. God is the owner. Yes. What do I do? So that's what we've been working on for all these years. And she's getting a handle on it. She's giving up control to God. And that's been very difficult to do, because how can she trust again? You know, she sometimes views God as her ex-husband. You know, like, oh, he just wants to hurt me or punish me. No, that's not the God we know. So she would kind of mix the two together. But she's working on giving up control to God, not self-deception. She's not deceiving herself about the realities of where she stands or stood before we redid everything. It was a pretty bad situation. So she's learning to surrender, learning to give up control, learning patience, learning to say, God, you're the owner. If I do what you want me to do, I must trust that you'll provide for my basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter. And she understands her role to be a steward of her kids, God's financial resources that he provides her. And she's learning more about what her role is. She wants to do what God wants her to do. That, to me, comes from her heart, not a coach or any other fancy textbook or magazine. It's coming from Dolores's heart. Her self-esteem is been built up in God, because he says that you're secure in me. You're valuable to me, Dolores. I made you. I provide for you. It's not in any net worth thing. And she's learning through counselors and pastors how to unwind some of the pain she had from the past. And she's getting peace of mind out of this. She's getting security, relief. Boy, the relief. It's amazing. She is being blessed, somewhat financially in some ways, I think. But also, and that's through job and income, through working. She's been able to land a better job, and she's growing in her career aspirations. So that's been good. She's been a good example to her kids. And I think that Dolores, if she were sitting behind the microphone, would say to you, Tom, I have freedom. The Bible's true. The truth does set a person free. I just needed to know what it was and how to apply it. And it's really built her up. She's learned a great deal. Is she over? Is it all done? Does she have it all done and under control? And no, but she's getting there. She's working. She's a work in progress. Aren't we all? I don't think anybody, including the financial coach, does everything perfect. No, we sin. We make mistakes. Praise the Lord for his grace. So that was the marriage mess that Dolores explained to me over the last 17 to 18 years. We put together a financial plan. We put together some consulting to help her and her kids get a feel for budgeting and saving, getting vacations here and there, but saving first. And then once that item is saved up for, then she's been able to spend the money or go out and get the piece of furniture or vacation. But save first, spend next. All through a biblical financial plan. So I feel good about that. It's just amazing. That's only one story out of hundreds and hundreds I've run across through all these 27 years. So give me a call. Let's talk about it sometime. 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial planner, financial advisor. Again, 800-386-3700. And let's go to prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Father God, I pray for any person listening right now that you would draw them to you, Lord, that they would trust and obey you, your word, and get a handle for your economic systems, your economy, Father God. Give us wisdom. Help us to grow in you, Lord. Please bless the listeners and me. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week, 2 o'clock Saturday.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. God.